Hello, I'm Sebastian. Welcome to Nine Archery's podcast. Today, I will summarize and review the book, Private Empire ExxonMobil and American Power is a work of investigative nonfiction by Steve Call that examines how ExxonMobil became one of the most influential corporations in the modern world. Rather than presenting a conventional business history, the book studies the company as a political and institutional actor whose reach extends into diplomacy, energy markets, lobbying, and environmental policy. Call focuses on ExxonMobil's internal culture, its decision-making habits, and the consequences of its global operations, especially in relation to government power and public accountability. The narrative is broad in scope, moving from corporate headquarters in Texas and Washington to crisis zones and oil-producing regions around the world. What distinguishes the book is its attempt to explain not only what ExxonMobil did, but how a corporation of this scale develops a distinct logic of power, secrecy, and discipline. The result is a detailed portrait of corporate influence in the age of global energy dependence. I will give you key takeaways from this book. Firstly, ExxonMobil as a corporate power center with reach beyond ordinary business. One of the book's central ideas is that ExxonMobil functioned less like a standard company and more like a political and economic power center. Call shows how the firm's revenues, geographic reach, and strategic importance gave it leverage in many countries and in Washington. This is not simply a matter of size. The company operated in environments where access to energy resources, security arrangements, and regulatory decisions were deeply intertwined. That made ExxonMobil a participant in statecraft, not just a seller of oil and gas. The book argues that this level of influence created a form of private authority that could shape policy while remaining formally outside government. Understanding ExxonMobil in this way helps explain why ordinary models of corporate behavior are insufficient. The company had to manage governments, rival firms, local communities, and activists at once, and it did so with the resources of a multinational giant. Call uses that scale to frame the broader issue of how private corporations can affect public life. Secondly, a disciplined internal culture shaped by secrecy, hierarchy, and engineering logic, Call pays close attention to ExxonMobil's internal culture because he sees it as essential to the company's power. The book portrays a highly disciplined organization with a strong hierarchy, strict control over expenses, and a preference for technical expertise over improvisation. This culture helped ExxonMobil avoid some of the excesses associated with more speculative or personality-driven oil companies. At the same time, it made the company cautious, opaque, and sometimes resistant to outside perspectives. The emphasis on engineering and process shaped how executives approached risk, capital allocation, and operational control. Call suggests that this internal order was not just a management style, but a worldview the company trusted its own systems and expertise more than public opinion or political fashion. That helps explain why ExxonMobil could appear unusually unified even when confronted with controversy. It also explains why the company often projected confidence in its own judgment, even when critics argued that this insularity limited adaptability. The book presents internal culture as both a source of efficiency and a source of rigidity. Thirdly, climate change denial and the tension between scientific knowledge and corporate messaging. A major theme in the book is ExxonMobil's long and controversial response to climate change. Call examines the gap between what the company and its scientists understood about global warming and the public stance the corporation later adopted. This part of the book matters because it reveals how a major energy company can manage information. When scientific conclusions threaten its core business model, the issue is not just whether the company accepted the science internally, but how it communicated externally, how it responded to regulation, and how it weighed business interests against public responsibility. Call treats this as a case study in the conflict between private profit and public policy. The book does not reduce the issue to a simple morality tale. Instead, it shows how corporate strategy, political relationships, and institutional incentives can shape the handling of scientific uncertainty. By placing climate change at the center of the narrative, Call connects ExxonMobil's history to one of the defining policy disputes of the modern era. That gives the book lasting relevance beyond the oil industry itself. Fourthly, the company's relationship with Washington and the politics of influence. Another key dimension of the book is the close and often contentious relationship between ExxonMobil and the U.S. government. Call describes how the company used lobbying, access, and policy expertise to protect its interests in an environment where energy, national security, and foreign policy often overlapped. The book is especially attentive to the Bush era, but it also shows that the relationship was broader than any single administration. ExxonMobil did not merely seek favorable regulation. It worked to shape the terms of debate around energy supply, international stability, and national priorities. That makes the book valuable as a study of how corporate influence operates through institutions rather than through open confrontation. Call also emphasizes that the company was not always aligned with American state goals, even when it depended on American protection and infrastructure. This tension between corporate autonomy and national power is one of the book's most important insights. It demonstrates that globalization can produce firms whose interests are partly connected to the state, but not fully subordinate to it. Lastly, global crisis management in oil regions from Indonesia to Nigeria and beyond. Private empire is not limited to corporate headquarters or U.S. politics. It also follows ExxonMobil into volatile international settings where oil operations intersect with war, corruption, and social unrest. Call shows how the company dealt with unstable governments, local conflicts, and security risks in places such as Indonesia, Nigeria, Iraq, and other resource-rich regions. These chapters matter because they reveal the practical demands of running a multinational energy business in politically fragile environments. The book illustrates that access to oil is never purely technical. It depends on contracts, local alliances, protection, and the ability to operate amid uncertainty. In this sense, ExxonMobil becomes a lens through which to view the geopolitics of energy itself. Call does not present these regions as background scenery. He treats them as places where the company's power, vulnerabilities, and ethical dilemmas become visible. This global perspective makes the book more than a corporate biography. It becomes an account of how energy extraction shapes and is shaped by international disorder, state fragility, and the uneven distribution of power. In conclusion, Private Empire is best suited for readers interested in corporate power, energy politics, political economy, and the real-world consequences of large-scale resource extraction. It will appeal to business readers who want a serious account of how a global corporation actually operates, but it is equally valuable for policy analysts, journalists, historians, and environmental readers who want to understand the institutional force behind oil and gas markets. The book offers more than a profile of ExxonMobil. It shows how a company can build internal discipline, navigate governments, manage public controversy, and influence the strategic environment around it. That makes it intellectually useful for anyone trying to understand why some corporations operate almost like parallel states. What sets the book apart from many other business histories is its scale of reporting and its refusal to flatten the subject into praise or condemnation. Call combines corporate history, foreign reporting, and political analysis into a single narrative that is both detailed and analytically serious. Readers looking for simple lessons or investment takeaways may find it demanding, but readers seeking a rigorous portrait of corporate power will find it unusually substantial. If you would like to support Steve Call, you can buy the book through the Amazon link I've provided in the podcast description. After reading the book, please let me know what you think and share your thoughts. See you around.